So that's kind of the high, high level of when to bet is, you know your model, know your edge, know the limits, and know the market. And then you're, you know, that's... Hey, what's up, everybody? GP13 here. New episode of the Risk Takers Podcast. Doing a deep dive today into when we should be betting. This is a topic that came up in the Discord. Plug for the Discord. Definitely hop in there because you're going to be a part of a lot of these conversations that are educational and don't, you know, maybe make it to an episode of the show, but there's one-off questions that people who are trying to learn how to become better bettors, ask in the Discord. When they get answered, everybody learns. And it's a great crowd in there. So do join. But there's an interesting conversation happening in the Discord about when should I be betting, right? And I thought, you know, it's interesting because we always talk about how to find a bet, where to bet, how much to bet. Do we talk about when to bet? And I think we don't talk about it a lot because it's so... it differs strategy to strategy, sport to sport, right? But I think there's simple frameworks that are able to be applied across different sports and different strategies. And I want to teach everybody, I want to teach you how I think about when to bet. What's my thought process on deciding when to bet? And the first thing it starts with is what's your strategy? So I'm going to break strategies down into two camps. There's going to be your originating and there's going to be your market-based strategies. Okay, so let's start with the originators. Originating is you have some process that, you know, compiles some data, looks at some stats, spits out a number that you think should be the number. You compare it to the book's lines. You might take into account some of their lines in the process too, and then you bet. So originating is basically like handicapping, right? So when should an originator bet? And again, we have to, it depends. It's unfortunately always the answer. But let's talk about why does it depend? What does it depend on? Right? What does it depend on? It depends on, if you're an originator, it depends on your bankroll. So why does it depend on your bankroll? In sports betting, in most traditional online sports books, and this is not the case as of right now for the platforms like PrizePicks and Underdog, but most sports books will allow you to bet more the closer to game time it is. So most sports books allow you to bet more the closer to game time it is. And why is that? Because those sports books are getting more information the closer to game time it is. Now, some of it's just systematic, like lineups. You just will not know lineups until whatever time. You know, for soccer, it could be an hour before kick. For basketball, it could be a couple hours. But at a certain point, when lineups come out, there's even more confidence in the numbers, and they might bump the limits because they're more confident, they have more information. Systematic happens at a certain time. You can kind of set your watch to it, which is nice when you're thinking about when to bet, because you know if they increase the size on the limit or if they increase the limits on the news of lineups, you basically know when that is. And if you're looking to bet more, then you can kind of make sure you're seated at the computer and bet then. The other information, though, is information from sharp bettors or from bettors that they respect. So over the course of whatever it is, the day, the week, if it's football with openers happening, you know, basically the same day as the current week's games, sportsbooks, we talk about this a lot, get information from sharp bettors, right? They're seeing what you're betting. They're seeing what other people they respect are betting, and they're taking into account, right? Not one thing, you know, they don't just have one piece of information, but as the week goes on, they get lots of information. And once they get, you know, what they deem to be a strong opinion based on that information and maybe some of their own internal modeling and thought processes, then they might decide to raise the limit. But that takes some time. So usually what happens is closer to the game, there's more information from the league, from the teams, and there's more information from the sharp bettors. So over the course of from when the bets first release, what we call an opener, to the close, which is basically when the game kicks off, the limits steadily increase on what you, not steadily, you know, they'll jump up, you know, when they'll have big kind of jumps, but they increase the closer to the close you get. Okay, so why does this matter for originators? Well, it matters because you basically can deem the closing line to be more efficient than the opening line. So it's harder. You're going to get less of a return on investment percent against the closing line as you may against the opening line. You might be able to, these are made up, but let's just say you're a really good originator and your model returns 2% ROI against the closing line, but it returns 5% ROI against the opening line. That would make sense. That would check out because the opening line, the books don't have the luxury of getting all of the information from other sharp bettors to adjust the line. And other sharp bettors will be onto stuff that your model's onto, or, you know, they'll be expressing it in their bets through, you know, they'll be expressing some of your model through their bets, and some of that edge will erode towards close. So basically you should be returning more against opener than the close. Now, you have a 2% ROI against the close and you have a 5% ROI against the open, but let's say you only have an $1,000 bankroll, right? And the max size at the open is, you know, $500. Well, you would never be betting $500 on a game with a $1,000 bankroll. So you might as well go ahead and bet on the open when you can get 5% on your money instead of 2%. However, let's say now you have $1 million bankroll. And let's say on the open, you can bet 500 and on the close, you could bet, you know, 10 grand. So now we go to the, oh, we have 5% on 500. That's $25 of expected value if you were to bet the open at the higher ROI, or you go bet the close 10 grand, 10 grand at 2% is $200, right? So the 8X your, you know, 8x your return from an absolute value or absolute dollar standpoint, then you would decide, okay, it's probably worth betting on the close. Now, you might bet the open too. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't do that, but a lot of times people don't want to give their information to the book for the cheap opening line prices. That's very common amongst bettors with bigger bankrolls, sharp bettors with bigger bankrolls. So they'll wait to the close if they think they'll still be able to get their number or get a decent number at the close and bet larger amounts. So that's the equation that goes on if you're originating, if you're building a model and you're betting it. So the other thing is, can your model beat the close? It's very hard to do. Not every model that beats the open can beat the close. You could have a model that returns 2% or 3% against the open and, you know, negative 1% against the close. And in that situation, then you would still bet the open, even if you had a large bankroll, right? So you have to factor in basically, can I beat the close? If so, what do I think my ROI is? And then how much money can I get down in the open compared to the close? And it's just a simple dollar analysis when you're going to bet and when you're not going to bet. The kind of third thing that is a bit more, it's a bit more fuzzy is, do you have a read on what the market's going to do? And, you know, if you're involved in one market, you actually do start to develop these things. If you have this, if you kind of have a read on direction, and there's a great podcast that this golf bettor Abnormally Distributed did on, I think it was on Circles Off, where he talked about data golf. Data golf is a very public, it's like a public sharp tout in golf. And he would basically say that, you know, once data golf released, if he had a number that he would agree with Data Golf on, then he would just bet it early, right? Because Data Golf's going to release and then they're going to move the number. But if he actually disagreed, what he would do is he would wait for Data Golf to post, and then it would move even more in his favor, or maybe it move from a no bet to a bet, and then he would bet it at the close, get more money down, get a better price. So that's kind of the high, high level of when to bet is, you know your model, know your edge, know the limits, and know the market. And then you're, you know, that's kind of as good as it gets. And this is a very skilled bettor who, you know, has been doing this for a long time. So it's very hard to do that. But I just thought I would mention that because it does factor in when you're deciding when to bet. You should be kind of aware of any systematic moves in the market, whether it be a public tout or, you know, some group that seems to always be betting the same thing at a similar time, whatever it may be. You know, those are things you should be factoring into if you are aware of them. Okay, and now we go on to the market-based strategy. So this would be steam chasing or betting mainly off an odd screen or some kind of devigging bot that you've built for yourself, where you're taking sharp books and determining the market price and making a judgment on certain sports books that might be off market. Or you're chasing steam, right? Which is you see a number move and you think that that is indicative of a sharp bettor betting it across a couple books. Then you take it at a book it hasn't moved. You're basically tailing that bettor without them telling you exactly what they're playing, but you're basically tailing them through seeing the market. Market strategies. Market strategies, you have to figure out when the market's moving. So let's rewind to when we talked about the basketball and the soccer lineups. Those are times when the markets will move around a lot, when lineups are released or when they're confirmed. So that's going to be in soccer, I believe, and at least in the EPL, that's like an hour before kickoff because I always get DMPs by accident in soccer, right? But in basketball, it's probably I think in the Discord, Jose had said that that's around like 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern is when the lineups start getting locked in and there's a lot of movement around that. I also heard from somebody who bets basketball that there's movement in the morning, like 10 to 11 or something like that. You'd have to check it out. Don't take my word for it. But what you got to do is you got to start watching the markets, watch the odd screen, and just take note. You know, there's for golf, I did this with a PowerPoint slide. I literally just like created a timeline and I was like, okay, this book, you know, increased their limits here. They posted here, you know, movement happened, you know, at this time, whatever it is. And I have this out on like this timeline, this visualization for me to reference back. And then, you know, if you want to update it. But the key point is you just have to find the time when the moves are happening. When the moves are happening, there's always going to be books that are going to be too slow, that are going to be too busy doing other stuff to, you know, be paying attention to the market. You're going to catch them being off market, missing a line move that you could easily get down. And yeah, those are the two main things. I mean, that's what you're looking for, right? So for something to show an opportunity, basically, like something has to happen. Because as a bettor that's using sharp books and line moves, you're basically tailing the big players in the market. So when they come in and when they're acting, that's when you have to be aware, trying to figure out what they're doing, seeing, you know, which books are moving and where there's opportunities, right? So you're kind of at the mercy of them moving stuff around and showing you their hand, showing you their information. And, you know, and like I said, with the lineups, there's systematic information, which is the information from the league and the teams. And that's pretty consistent. So you're always going to be able to sit down around then and catch some good line moves. So that's good. You can schedule yourself, you know, you can set your schedule around that. If you're busy, if you're doing this as a side hustle and are very busy, like outside of betting and you only have a couple hours, Then I would focus on the lineup release times, right? If you have an hour or so, figure out when that like time before game, you know, before the tip off or whatever it is, when you get the official information from the teams, and then whatever that hour and a half is, I would sit down at your computer, bet then, and then, you know, get on with your life. Those are going to be high value times. And then if you want to add to it, I believe usually there's some time in the morning where you can catch some good moves too. So you just have to figure out what that is for your sport. It's going to differ sport to sport. Football is very unique because there's like this whole song and dance over the course of a week on who could be in, who could be out. I can't give good advice for football in this instance because it's so long between games and the media coverage is like insanely over the top, where you're going to hear about players being questionable, probable, whatever. That's for someone else, but there's definitely times when you should be betting football. I don't know what those are, but go follow someone on Twitter and who's an expert in the space and ask them or see when they're betting. But the most important thing is, if you're deciding, just to wrap it up, if you're deciding when to bet, you first have to think, what's your strategy? Is it you have a model, or is it market-based? If it's market-based, it's easy. You know, just figure out when stuff's moving around and be there as much as you can, you know, as much as can fit into your life, just be there when stuff's moving around. If you're originating, it's a little trickier, but it's actually not that complicated. Is your bankroll, you know, is your bankroll a constraint where you might not want to bet openers? If you have a smaller bankroll, you know, just bet the openers. If you have a bit bigger of a bankroll, you have to make sure your model can beat closing lines, and then, you know, go after the closing lines. And then if you really want to be a total crusher, then you also can be predicting where you think the market will be and understanding if you wait on a number, it might disappear, or it might get better, or it might stay the same and you can bet it for a bigger amount. And that's kind of the three steps of being a total crusher. So I hope this was an interesting episode. I love the discussion we had in the Discord about this, and I think it's really important. It's talked about, you know, I've heard some people talk about it, but it's really important because you want to use your time efficiently, especially if you're doing this part-time. That's very, very important. So knowing when to bet is going to, you know, it's going to increase your hourly so much, because you're only going to be there during those high value hours if you don't have the other hours to spare. So this is key for anybody, but it's definitely important for people who are doing this part-time. So I hope this is helpful. Thanks everybody for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.